Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, Jacob here, Daniel 3 Podcast. This is going to be episode, what episode is it? Hold on, I have no idea. 70-something, doesn't matter. I'm a little tired. So my son was born last Friday, and everything went well with that. And of course, I have had no sleep in like 6 days, so everything's good. So I'm kind of just putting out some for now, until things kind of quiet down on my end, some episodes that are just going to be like re-releases of appearances I've done on other people's shows, semi-recently. So this episode is when I was on Jose Galison's podcast a few weeks ago, No Way Jose. And we sort of continued a ongoing conversation him and I have about, you know, religion and or like theism and atheism and agnosticism and knowledge, morality, all of that, because we have a lot in common in terms of our sort of like temperamental and philosophical approach. And we both sort of try to avoid most of the cliche atheist versus theist argument, and try to, but then it's like, I guess Jose wanted to have me on to, push a little bit on the morality subject and to try to explain, one of my hangups is I have a hard time from a personal level understanding how someone who doesn't believe in God can justify caring about morality on a emotional and sort of personal level. It's one thing to sort of like abstractly, logically justify certain moral positions, but it's another to say that everyone should that everyone's going to behave rationally, and that rationality alone would lead to a moral outrage or disgust. And to have concepts of good and evil rather than just concepts of evolutionarily preferable or not preferable. So it was an interesting conversation. I find that, when you get into these sort of conversations, and this is not a diss at Jose, but like the skeptic who says, I don't know, is generally going to have an advantage over anyone who's making some sort of positive claim on top of the, I don't know. Because to be fair, I don't know. Right. So we both have that common foundation. I just add on to the, I don't know, but I believe that X, Y, and Z are more probabilistic in my mind than a lack of X, Y, and Z. And also I find that X, Y, and Z bring value to my life and meaning to my life. And, it's certainly easy to say, I don't know, to all that. And then to say, just from my baseline skepticism to say, I'm not convinced by things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think my pushback, as always, is, there is value to going further than what can be verified, with 100% certainty. And so I don't know. I mean, this is one thing where one of those episodes where I'm sure my audience will be a little split, because I feel like, sometimes a lot of Christians tend to be a bit more, reactionary towards atheists and the kind of claims that they make. And expect me to push back a little bit harder than I did. But again, I think the struggle here, which I get into, and most of my conversations with Jose, is wanting to have a differentiation between faith and knowledge. And I think that we can have a reasonable faith that's backed by a pursuit of truth and rational empirical undertones, I guess. But I don't think they can make the faith rise to the level of actual knowledge. And, you know, if I start to use Christianity and the beliefs of Christianity as things that I would proclaim in the same way that I proclaim other things that I have knowledge of and don't just have faith of or faith in, I think this is sort of a error in language and error in just kind of intellectual honesty. So yeah, I don't know, you guys, you know, it's a fun conversation, however you want to slice it up. So I'm gonna stop rambling and just let you guys take a listen. So here's my conversation with Jose Galison, if that is your real name.
It's Jose Galison. You're watching No Way Jose. You can find me on the No Way Jose YouTube channel. You can also find me on all the major audio podcatchers and Odyssey as well. Credit to Justin Campbell for the intro at jcamp1521. If you want to find them on Twitter, if you are other podcaster and you have any other like intro or editing or any sort of needs like that, you can definitely hit him up to commission for any sort of work like that. He already does a lot of work there for a lot of big dogs, so hit him up. Today, my guest is Jacob Winograd of the Daniel 3 Biblical Anarchy podcast. As always, just you guys know what's up in case it's your first time. The way this works, if you're watching the 26th, you are watching the live stream, and it will only be available the day of. It will get taken down, and it will go to patrons. It will only be available for patrons for about a week or so. And then it'll go public. If you want to be able to get it in the meantime, it's $2 to get that. Just for the minimum, there's different levels. The highest level being $20. That's a sponsor level. And I have CD McRae of the Whiskey and Tea podcast. I have Jeremy, and he has Etsy at etsy.com/shop/raisingliberty. If you want to check him out, if you want to hit him up on Twitter at Jeremy Rhymes. If you want to do any of that stuff, you want to be a sponsor, or if you want to do the lowest level or anything in between, patreon.com, just No Way Jose 2020. I appreciate all my sponsors. You guys help me out. Part of why I'm able to keep doing what I'm doing. Today the topic, we kind of go into atheism, theism, that kind of stuff. The same old shtick whenever I pretty much have Jacob on, but obviously we talk about other stuff occasionally. I'll be having James Gentleman on next week, but I think a week or two ago I was on Jacob's podcast. It was me, James, and Jacob, because we were kind of a group that kind of started podcasting around the same time. For Tower Gang, Tower Power Hour, just so you guys know, if you aren't aware, we got nuked off YouTube, which anyone who watched the show, big shocker. It was kind of one of those things that's going to happen eventually, but... You know, with that, we're still in Odyssey. We're still also on all the audio platforms and stuff. So, I mean, you can even watch the video on Spotify if you want. We got that video. Definitely go definitely go follow them on Odyssey, because that's kind of where we are for now. We're thinking about ways and maybe trying to evade, go around YouTube, maybe even may start doing live streams here and then take them down right off the bat, maybe rebrand to Tower Gang. I don't know, we're kind of kicking around all sorts of ideas, trying to figure out what to do. Also, if you are in Florida or if you're nearby, if you're willing to come to Florida, and you may be a little bit too late, I'm not sure at this point. I'm not sure how many more tickets are available. We got the summer porch tour on May 7th. Go check that out. The summer porch tour. Sorry, I need to explain that a little bit more. Robbie Bernstein has a summer porch tour. He'll be at Top Lobster's house, which is like kind of around Orlando-ish, probably like an hour or so, about an hour outside of the Villages, I believe, roughly. But obviously, if you go to Robbie's page, or if you go, go watch Part of the Problem. He's been schlepping it there, so go check that out. You should definitely be there. There's gonna be a live podcast with Robbie Bernstein and the Tower Power guys. I'm pretty sure all of us are gonna make it, so that should be a good time. And it's gonna be at Top Lobster's house. Be a fun time. It'll be an hour of comedy with Robbie. Go check out Top Lobster. You know, at toplobster.com, you're supposed to get checkout for 10% off. With that, let's get Jacob in here. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how much are you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Oh yeah, I see. You said I tried to save them. This is the
Dude,
is the Daniel
curse. I didn't hear about that till you just said it now. So
bullshit.
I don't know. I was on Twitter all day. I don't know where you guys announced it. I just didn't see it. What was the epic? Was it any specific citation of any episode in particular, or was it just like a bye? I've never been banned off YouTube before. I don't know how it works.
They gave us, we've had strikes before, but I think we've only had like one or two. And the way it usually works is like you have to accumulate a certain amount of strikes before they boot you. And like we would always be like, I think it usually how it works is you get a strike and you can't stream on YouTube for a week. So we've had a couple times that we had to like do Odyssey only and then we'll re-upload it later. But we've never had more than like one strike at a time because the strikes will expire. But we just got an email out of the blue and it was just like severe or multiple violations. And so I don't know if we just got mass reported or if someone
reply,
went through,
like, no fucking shit, what took you so long?
Yeah, right. It's like, or if someone went through the whole catalog and was like, whoa, like I don't know. Like, yeah, we're literally in the midst of a tournament of like a hypothetical, right? Of, like who you would genocide. So I guess I don't know.
I had assumed you guys would have got kicked off so long ago that because you hadn't up until this point, I was just like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like, you're in some kind of weird blind spot or you guys paid off the right people or something behind the scenes. I don't know. it sucks. But, it is what it is. Odyssey is picking up popularity and steam and stuff. So, you know, it's got options.
Yeah, I was on there yesterday. I went to the page. I was looking around. I was kind of like curious, I guess I was just looking at the numbers to kind of see. And don't get me wrong, obviously numbers aren't as flashy. Like Tower Power was probably averaging about like at least like 1,000, if not more, an episode views. So it was doing pretty hot. And then like the lesser episodes, the episodes that weren't doing as well would still get like 500 views. So I mean, it's pretty solid. We were about 2.25 K subs in like a year. So we were doing pretty good. But then I was looking at Odyssey, looking at the numbers, and some of the, I had said earlier that like we got pulled and like a couple times and we had, there was a couple weeks we were Odyssey only and then would re-up it, load it later. I was looking at those numbers and they were surprisingly pretty good. Like I know one of the Robbie episodes was like, I think like almost 200 views, which I mean, I know that's not that great, but for like on YouTube, I'm like, or for Odyssey, I mean, like that's pretty solid. And you know, so like if we're going to be Odyssey only, like, I don't know, maybe we'll pick up a following. We'll see. I don't know. We'll make it work. We've been kicking around the idea of like maybe creating some sort of network or something too, or I mean, we're always open to if anyone wants us on a network, but like, I don't know. We'll see. Cause we do, but we'll kind of plow through in the meantime. I think we'll make something happen. I do think something special with Tower Power. I think we'll make something happen. I don't know. I mean, either way, we're going to keep going. It's fun, you know. So anyone watching this, if you want to keep watching it, you're going to have to go to Odyssey. But, you know, they have a fucking app now. So,
you know, what's funny is, my mind's still kind of like in like the last, like the stream I was doing with James and with Joe and I don't know who the other guy was. But the when we're talking about like things we do to relax, like Tower Power Hour has been like my comic relief for like the past however many months that you guys have been doing that. Like it's something I look forward to every episode. And you know, whether I'm there live trying to troll you guys in the chat when I can make it, or just watching it at work like the next day and stuff, like, I mean, laughing is just such a therapeutic thing. And that I don't know of any other podcast that makes me laugh the way you guys do. Like I'll literally be at work wrenching away and just start, you know, look like a retard, just start busting up laughing, and people are just like, what the fuck's going on with Jacob? And just like, you know, and one of my service advisors came by one day. They go, what are you listening to? Is it funny? I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't know you well enough though that I can talk to you about this yet.
It's like the Joker thing. You wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you watch any other comedy podcasts? Just curious.
I mean, occasionally Legion of Skanks. And other than that, like I've tried Slurp Gang. I wasn't too impressed by them. No offense to them, just I don't know, but maybe, and I didn't watch too many, like a couple episodes. I'm not typically a comedy guy. It's not what consumes, you know, 90% of my listening stuff, but I don't know, it's just, again, you need something to break the monotony, and like 80% of what I listen to is political or religious or philosophical, and like your brain gets to a point where like you've overstimulated that part of your brain, and you need a you need something to like give your brain just that time to just relax and just kind of enjoy what you're listening to, rather than like you're you know, especially while I'm working, it's like if I'm trying to listen to something that's intellectual and I'm working, it can be too much stimulation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I used to go on more like a deep, like I didn't really used to do comedy podcasts at all, and I actually still kind of don't. The only comedy podcast I really do, aside from Tower Power, occasionally, I usually don't watch it, you know, because I'm on it, but occasionally I watch ones I'm not on, or if it was one that was especially good, I'll go back and watch it. But I pretty much now watch Legion of Skanks religiously, but it was weird. I didn't start doing it until I had a comedy podcast, but it's almost like in a weird way, it's almost like I'm studying. Like, but it's right. The same idea, like now, or I
and
listen
now
to
now they're
a lot
studying
of other
you podcasts. Guys and stealing yeah. your bits.
Yeah, well, it's just like now with yeah, I know with the Zyklon Showers thing, but yeah. It's like I listen to before I started podcasts, I listened to podcasts a lot, but it was more like a casual. And I still do that, but like now I probably almost listen to them a little bit more, but it's like almost like a studying thing, and it's the same thing with a comedy one, because now I have to like to I don't know keep my shit sharp or get ideas or have something to give me inspiration for comedy. And the same thing goes with like this political stuff. Like, for example, today I re-listened to our episode with James to kind of like get like ideas to spurn on for like topics and such. And I mean, that's how I do. I'm sure everyone has different methods. But yeah, I get to bring that back to the comedy thing. I didn't even start listening to comedy podcasts until I start doing a comedy podcast. Like all of that material or that, I guess you if you want to call it a character, although it's not really a character, like that is a side of me on that show that's like, that's more like this side of me that I've always had, that when I'm kind of like hanging out with the boys, like whether, cause I've been I was in active duty military for 11 years. So like I would like, that was kind of like, there was a lot of that. Like, it's kind of like the military is very much like a boys club in a lot of ways. And there's it's gotten gayer as time's gone on, but like, there's still that element, you know, where it's like just chilling with the boys type thing where, you know, you're shooting the shit, saying like crazy off the wall stuff, and that's kind of what Tower Power Hour yeah. is, you know. And like it, and a lot of people get, we've had people get mad at us that like, you know, and you keep, be like, you guys aren't very funny, or I'm like, I've never claimed to be, this is literally just us shooting the shit, and some people find it funny, so I don't know what to tell you. So I mean, well, I've never said I'm a comedian.
Well, I know, so like I was a pretty, I don't know, like I used to have fun with my friends and stuff when I was in school, but then like post high school, I got caught up in like a lot of like leftist crap. And I was pretty much an SJW for a few years, and I completely lost my sense of humor. And I actually like, I had this like, I looked at my past self in a self-deprecating way, and I became just like the most unfun person in the world. And then when I started getting back into libertarian spaces and starting to, you know, reject more of that woke crap, I hadn't really reclaimed like my sense of humor. What was starting to help was like, you know, being always working kind of blue collar jobs, you're around people who, you know, make those kind of jokes. But I had spent so many years kind of being offended by them that I kind of felt like a hypocrite for going back. But yeah, I mean, listening to you guys, listening to Adam Nutter, and you know, becoming close with Adam over the past couple of years since we're both in the same state, kind of helped me to reincorporate part of myself that I had lost, and to kind of like reintegrate. It was part of like there's this Jordan Peterson idea, which might be something we talk about later in our, you know, more philosophical conversation about like integrating the shadow, and like and sort of like that dark humor element, and like being able to look at, like, talk about really sort of offensive or dark topics and not view them with this sort of like weird, spooky, like, oh, we can't talk about that because it's offensive. Like, getting past that has been a real important part of like my journey to like where I'm at now, as far as just being a better man, I guess. I mean, it kind of sounds, I don't know. It's like I talked with Dave last week. Like, I hate saying like being a better man, or being a better, like, it sounds kind of stereotypical, or cliche, but I don't know. It's true. It's like, I feel like I'm more in sync with nature and with like the best version of myself now than I was like 3 years ago. So.
Yeah. There is something too, like laughing about like fucked up shit. Like, cause like, I don't know, I guess it just kind of shows you it doesn't have power. Like, I'm able to laugh at these things. And like, no, I don't, like we said, we're currently in the midst of a tournament of like the hypothetical being like, what class of people would you genocide? And it's like, we're making arguments for one for the other. It's like, I don't genuinely want to genocide any of these people. But on the other hand, all of the awful like slang terms like bro, or like, I don't know if I don't know how it works for you, but I'm trying to think of another one, or brother, like stuff like that. Like, the way those have incorporated in my vernacular is I start using them ironically and then it becomes real. So maybe there is some sort of a libertarian to all right pipeline shit there where I'm like making these awful jokes and over time they actually do kind of come off as real. Kind of doubt it, because I've been making these type of awful jokes for a long time and I still don't genuinely believe any of them. Like, I know I've been making Jew jokes for years and those are literally my favorite people. Like right, it literally yeah. was like, like, that was I don't remember if that's even still in the tournament, because Jews was one of the ones in the tournament. I either got taken out the first one or the second round. And I wanted to take out the first round because I was like, we joke about this, but I really struggle to make a good argument for why you need to genocide the Jews, because I actually like, they're some of my favorite people. Like,
right.
And, like, yeah, I get it. Like, they do tend to be like the Ashkenazis. If you buy into the whole like bell curve thing, they tend to be on the higher end of it. But it's like, okay, yeah, and that ends up with some evil people that are on there because they're like manipulating people with their intelligence. But on the other end, you end up with people like Murray Rothbard, and like, you end up with geniuses in all regards. So like,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, when you oppress a certain people, they end up coming out better. Like, yeah, that's how that works. But like, I struggle to make an actual legitimate, like, even comedic argument for why they really need to be, like, without being like hacky, like, because it's yeah. part of like, the thing is, we're actually trying to make legitimate arguments, like, if you were going to remove it. But, like, I mean, yeah, you can make some jokes here and there, but aside from, like, an actual legitimate argument, I struggle. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, part of, so you said, like, you know, people maybe are afraid that if you make those jokes, you'll start to, like, actually believe the, like you won't be saying them ironically, you'll be saying them seriously. And to me, it's almost like, it's in my experience, it's quite the opposite. Like, I feel like when you make those jokes, you are sort of in a sort of controlled, sort of humorous setting, able to play with those more like the really evil parts of the human nature. But like, so you're able to like get a taste of them. You're able to like see them and like play with those ideas, but in a way where you're not incorporating them into your being, but you're able to. I don't know. It's something about, again, it's this idea of incorporating the shadow, where it's like, if you're not, to me, it's like, if you're not at least getting close once in a while to that line, I guess, like that line where you're kind of crossing over into that stuff. Like, if you're not familiar with it, then it's like, you don't know your limits and you don't understand like I think you need to have an intimate knowledge of just how evil people can be. This is why like Jordan Peterson has like Soviet art all over his house, which is kind of creepy if you think about it, like a bunch of like Soviet Russia like art that some of it is kind of more dark, but like I don't know, it's like, to me it's sort of like the effect it has on me is like the more that I walk up to those lines and stuff, the more that I find myself able to clearly articulate between good and evil. Whereas like if you just stay as far away from it as possible, you don't know where that line is, and it kind of makes you weaker and less effective when you're actually like trying to engage in the culture and actually push back against the people who have crossed that line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's what was I gonna say? It makes me think of that, like, did you see that thing with Sean King today where he was like going on about like, oh, is this really what you want, like a free speech? Like the first thing he went to was like, oh, what do you think, like we should just be allow hate speech against Jews on here? And it's like, it's weird that like, for one, you even went there first off. Like, why are you picking the specific class? And like, I guarantee, like, no, you, there's no way you would have said white people, or you would have right. said, I know any other, like, like if someone called me a male monkey on Twitter, like, and even if they were being genuine and vitriolic about it, I would probably just laugh. Like, and the idea that like we should not say that other groups of people should do the same, I find to be silly. Like the idea that like if you call a Jew a kike or something, that they should be like horrified, especially online. I just feel like it's such this like pandering thing to them. They're like, unless this person is calling you a kike and then also being like, I'm gonna hunt you down and find where you live. Like, they're what? Why do you care? Like, this is social media. Block them or mute them or laugh or whatever. Like, if someone genuinely came at me some sort of racist way, if anything, I just laugh or I would dismiss it. Or like if they really were being insanely belligerent, I would just block. I don't care.
Well, let me tell you, as somebody who grew up next to actual Nazis, that the racial slurs thrown at me for being Jewish didn't bother me so much as the rocks being thrown at me. You know what I mean? It's like there's a clear like if people just say, you know, dumb, hateful, ignorant shit, it's just like, the okay, you know, but you know, they're being violent, it's like, okay, well, you know, that's actually a problem. But I condemning, it's like, if you're gonna, to me, it's like, yeah, be consistent, right? Like, if you can't make jokes about Jewish people, then you can't, or if you don't allow hate speech for Jewish people, then you can't allow the anything for any groups of people at all. And but at that point, it's just, that becomes such a restrictive rule that you can't, like, you can't say anything interesting.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, it's been a while since you've been on a show. We kind of jumped right into the conversation. I want to give you a chance to go ahead and introduce yourself to my audience, because it has been a long time since you've been on my show. So just so they know who you are. And then like, I'm going to kind of go a little bit deeper into some of the stuff we touched on your show recently, because we kind of breezed over some things. So I want to touch back on them, and we'll see how many of these things we get through, because I have a few bullet points on air, but I feel like honestly, the bullet points I have could easily be 2 or 3 episodes. So we may not hit on all of them, but there's a few I do want to hit on. But if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself for the audience, let them know who you are, what you're about. And yeah.
Cool. All right. So my name is Jacob Daniel or Daniel Jacob or something. I go by many different names on Twitter.
Wait, but... am I not supposed to use your last name?
Oh, you can, or yeah, Winograd, my last name.
Oh, okay. I'm like, shit, I thought you've already said it online. I'm like, did I dox
you?
Yeah,
I have. No, I didn't used to, and then I did, but then it's, and then I tried to, to me, Winograd's such a weird name. I prefer to go by Jacob Daniel.
Yeah.
But I don't care.
Like,
I don't
no, care. It's it's more aesthetic. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Winograd's such a, like, when I learned what it means, it's Russian for grape. It's like, I mean, like, having a Russian last name is okay, but like, grape is kind of a lame, like, it'd be like if Winograd meant something like, I don't know, like, I don't know, something more badass, it'd be different. But anyway, so yeah, my name is Jacob. I have a podcast, and I've had Jose on a few times. It's Daniel 3 Biblical Anarchy. So I started it out as a sort of like a project to try to push more libertarian thought and philosophy into the Christian, you know, world, so to speak. It's kind of branched out from there, and I still do that kind of stuff, but I also, I'll do some stuff on current events. I'll have people like Jose on, or other people who aren't explicitly Christian, to talk about different topics, you know, whether it's religion, philosophy, or just, you know, whatever I want to talk about. I like having the kind of long form conversational dialogue that we all kind of do. And other than that, I mean, I'm also, I guess the only other thing I can think of is that I'm a state organizer for the Mises Caucus. And so I do work within the Libertarian Party. And yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it. On your show last time, you mentioned two things that were like you couldn't wrap your head around in an atheistic worldview. And we kind of got into one of them, but I realized after rewatching it that somehow, I don't know how, I think I misinterpreted what you were saying. Because you said the two things you said is basically why humans have value and morality. And I don't know why, but I took why humans have value as nihilism, which I guess you can I can see how I connected those two dots. And then realized like, those are kind of two different, you know, things a little bit. Like why humans have value is a little bit different than why on an individual level or even as a group level, why it's a little bit different than nihilism, I would say. So I do kind of want to go into those and discuss those a little bit.
Sure.
I guess we'll start with the first ones, like why humans have value and how. And I'm not even necessarily trying to make you an atheist here. I'm more just trying to explain the logic of your typical atheist, if you will. All right, for humans having value, let's go into that one first off. I guess I'll give you a second to maybe expand on that a little bit if you want, or we can just move on from there, because I do want to kind of give you my perspective on how a human can have value from an atheistic worldview.
Sure. And I mean, so, you know, value can have different connotations. I can understand how without God and without religion, humans could have, I mean, I guess like economic value in the marketplace. I could understand how humans could have like maybe personal value to like, you know, you could value your offspring. You could value your friends and family because they bring something beneficial to you. So to be specific as to what I'm getting at, I think that what we all generally kind of behave and act out is that humans have a sort of intrinsic value beyond just some sort of like, beyond a market value, beyond a, oh, you're my friend and I like you, so you're valuable to me. Like we tend to view even the people that we don't associate with, and sometimes even the people that we don't like or that we don't think bring anything positive to us, we still kind of view them with a sort of intrinsic value. And I think it extends beyond just the fact that like, oh, well we're all the same species. And then we also seem to ascribe certain values to certain classes of people insofar as like we, for example, like with children, we view children as valuable, as innocent, as like we should be protecting them. And so like there's the whole like wood chipper go burr meme that we all like to use to sort of describe like what we would do to pedophiles, so I often use this framing to describe what I'm getting at. So I can understand how on like naturalism or on atheism, one could say that pedophilia is like in an evolutionary sense, not preferable, not conducive to what you would want in your community. But we don't like give pedophiles a slap on the wrist and go, no, knock that out. Like, that's not cool. You know, it's not like, okay, you know, $500 fine and you go back to your day. Or, and we don't even stop at like maybe something more extreme, like just, ostracism or, you know, a few years in jail. Like, you know, the whole wood chipper go burr meme is like, you know, oh, if I caught somebody doing something like that to a child, you know, we'd kill them. And it's not even just like your child, it's like any child. And so it's like, okay, well, why do we have that? Is that just, you know, is it just something artificial and random? Like, well, no, to me, it's like we sort of have this, we see some, like we all act out this sort of like humans have this intrinsic value. And it's like the problem is the value thing is sort of related to morality, but I'll try to stick to value first. It's just like we view humans as having a value that goes beyond, I think, just what I can clearly explain through just a sort of naturalistic framework.
All right. Where do I go there? You threw a lot at the wall. I guess I would probably, I actually feel like I'd kind of disagree a little bit how you framed it, because humans having value, I mean, we've talked before, I come in from an egoistic worldview. So really for me, it's as simple as it begins at me. I believe I have value because I don't like it when bad things happen to me. I know you can call that selfish or what have you. And then, you know, you kind of brought up family, friends, which once again, that kind of feels natural, you know, like you, that you're like, oh, I can understand from a family friend thing. But if you're outside the scope of it, yeah, in a certain sense, you still have value, but in the sense that you're another actor outside the world. And I realize that, fucking with you in any sort of way could have repercussions. That doesn't mean I want to necessarily do it. Like, and I guess in a certain sense, you have value as another thing. I guess I actually struggle to kind of wrap my head around this, because yes, I see humans have value in that sense, but I don't see how that is in any way tied to any sort of religious thing. I don't know,
do you believe that, and I think I've asked you this on my show before, but like I don't think, or at least I guess I'll just ask, like, do you believe humans have a soul? Or do you think there's anything to is there anything to a human being beyond like cells and chemical reactions and atoms?
Well, when I say no, I mean like maybe.
You mean, like, you can't prove it? Like, it's not something it could be like real, but you don't have any.
Yeah.
You can't count on it being there. You can't verify it's there.
No, I don't know. It's kind of like, I don't know. And so I operate off of no.
Okay.
Until like it's just like saying, is there a fly, or is there a teacup floating, or I don't know. I'm trying to think of an absurd thing. Is there a unicorn on Mars? Maybe. but I feel like it's safe to operate off of no for now until someone shows me otherwise. I don't know. Like I have no reason to believe there is. I guess, I don't know. I'll let you go for, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but I mean,
it's like, and the problem is like, and I appreciate you want to go through this point by point. So I'm trying to not jump off into like five other things, but like they are connected in my brain. So it's just like another thing that I think that, you know,
actually real quick, let
go ahead.
All right. Sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I guess is the best way to put it. Someone that I don't even know exists on the other side of the world, they literally have zero value to me. I mean, call that fucked up if you will, but aside from the like aspect of I don't want harm to come to them, but that's more like, but at the end of the day, like they do in a certain sense have zero value to me. They have nothing to do with my life in any way, shape or form, aside from the fact of I don't like, if I'm, say, example of like foreign policy, like, or whatever, like I don't want those people to be murdered or whatever. And it does kind of fuck with me a little bit, but in a certain sense, it's also kind of like I mean, that's not like my go-to thought, like, oh my God, this could happen to me. But the idea, like I feel like when everyone sees like horrible things happen to children or other human beings, in a certain sense, what they do is they kind of inject themselves in that situation. Like, oh my God, what if that was my children? And they kind of sympathize with it in that way. So, and it's almost like this human thing that we do to where it's like, and you could understand that in a biological sense of like why you would want to do that, because like, obviously, like, you're setting a precedent. It's not good to do that, like, because that's something that could happen to you if you allow that to happen. Like, it really is, I mean, libertarian theory, you can apply, Hoppe was an atheist, I believe. And I remember, I was listening to one, I can't remember which book it was, but his operating, like, his thing that kind of, like, gets by, like, subjective morality and shit like that is
argumentation ethics.
It may not be argumentation. I think he was talking about something else. Okay. He said he kind of, his way to kind of dismiss all that, and you can be like, you can operate from the objective, like starting point is if you want a harmonized a well operating society, or if you value peace or whatever, forget how he put it. This is the starting point. Like that's the a priori. Like and like so. Like, and that, like, I don't know, to jump ahead to morality, it's like if then, like, so he's not saying this is an objective thing. Like you have to first accept this beginning thing and then go from there. Yeah. It's conditional. So like you could be an objective morality guy and say, well, that's what I objectively believe. Or you can be a subjective guy and be like, okay, but that's what I value. So like, that's my, like, this is the framework I'll operate off of. I'm willing to say that's not objective in a ultimate sense, in that, like, if that's not someone's values, then like, okay,
maybe
like,
value is the wrong word here, or maybe it's just too broad of a word. Like mm-hmm. I guess what I'm getting at when I say I believe humans have value, and I think we all act like humans have value, is that it's almost like there's a sacredness to the human being, like something that sets us apart from just any other kind of biological, you know, being that would be alive. There's something about humans, and there's something about the human being, especially like the human being while he's alive versus, like, you know, 1 second after death, it's still kind of the same clump of atoms and cells, but like we all sort of operate by, like, while you're alive, there's like there's a personhood, there's a consciousness, there's a, you know, for lack of a better word, some kind of spirit or soul. And you can say, well, you know, is that scientifically verifiable? Well, not really, but that's why I say, like, the idea that there's a spirit or a soul and that consciousness exists and it isn't strictly just something we can explain through science, to me, those are kind of self-evident. And I can even, like, you often say, well, I start with my senses, and it's like, well, through my senses, I am sensing that I am more than just a clump of atoms, and I'm more than just random firing neurons. Like, there's something to me that's beyond that. Now, I think some atheists have said, like, well, that's basically just a illusion of free will and an illusion of person that your brain creates to sort of make sense of reality, which, I don't know, to me, I don't find that, I guess it's possible that's all it is, but I don't find that satisfactory as an answer.
I actually do find that satisfactory, but I'm not affirming that's the case. I think it's pretty easy to, I mean, I don't even know that much about computers. I know you're a bit more of a computer guy, but if you were to apply the human brain to be kind of like a very, very, very sophisticated program, like, and the way programs usually work is if, then, and then like this output, and then if some other thing happens, it kind of alters the programming. It's kind of like an AI thing. And so I can kind of understand how, like, the logic of it's extremely advanced. And once you go into AI advanced enough, it would essentially kind of be like a, this kind of thing, I think. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess once I kind of start wrapping my head around that, like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm me and I value me. I mean, whether, and I think we kind of touched this a little bit, like, the whole free will argument is kind of a little bit masturbatory, because I think once you fully grasp the argument, you realize it's kind of like, oh, like, well, like, you, it's kind of like this circle thing. You kind of get back to the same point. It's kind of like, even if you do accept the fact that we have no free will, you kind of get back to essentially, like, you're just kind of, it's intellectual masturbation, and you end up in the same point where you're just kind of like, well, okay, but like, this doesn't really have any meaningful difference.
Full-blown determinism is almost as useless as solipsism. It's just kind of like, okay, but, like,
well, no,
how
that's
do I...
actually, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm actually saying, once you fully grasp, and I'm too fucking retarded to explain it, but I've listened to a lot of Sam Harris and other people explain the argument of, like, the fact that we don't have free will. There's very, like, once you fully kind of grasp what they're saying, it literally is basically no different than the free will argument. Like, it's basically like, okay, so, but we're still in the same situation. Yeah. Like nothing's different. Like, the only thing that might differentiate there is maybe just a slight shift of your perspective of, like, you know, maybe when it comes to, like, criminal justice or something, like the idea that, like, and really, I think even from a free will perspective, it's kind of, if you kind of have a little bit of elevated thinking, you kind of come to the same conclusion of, instead of like a punishment type mindset, like, it should be more of like a, and like, this is like, this kind of goes a lot into, like, libertarian theory too, and how we should approach how you, punish is the wrong word. Like, when it comes to criminal justice, it should be more about recompense or, how to solve the problem. Yeah. Rehabilitation. I think it's actually, like, a lot of libertarian theory kind of doesn't come to that. A lot of it comes to, like, recompense. Like, all you're trying to do is, like, correct the wrong to the best extent possible. And that's kind of the same, instead of focusing on punishment, because punishment I feel like even if you, like, from a free will perspective or from a, determinism perspective, like punishment just kind of serves no purpose. So one, yeah. I feel like one, that's what I'm saying. It's like a circle. Once you kind of understand both sides of the argument, you kind of realize like, well, it kind of makes no fucking difference. Like you end up in the same place. It's just, it literally is just like a, it's just literally is intellectual masturbation. Cause I know I spent months like getting really interested in this one at one point. This is one of those things, you know, like with ADHD where you go really deep into it and like figure it out. And like you go on these like tangents. And I remember when this tangent and at a certain point it dawned on me like, oh, like it does come full circle. And once you understand both sides of the argument, it's kind of like, okay, cool. Like it's like a fun intellectual thing, but it's like it has no real bearing on anything.
Well, I guess I'm a compatibilist because I'm not a free will absolutist, but I'm also not a full blown determinist. Like I think both are sort of true in a sense. Like I also this sort of gets back like a little bit to what we talked about with James, the whole like are some people better than others, and it's like, well, I think some people actually are better in a sense. Like I think they're more self-aware and able to sort of rise above just kind of like the inertia of all the biological processes going on. And some people I think are literally just a slave to the biological processes and don't have that capacity to intellectually sort of like rise above it. And it's not a binary. There's like, you know, like some people just suck at it and some people are really good. And there's like a lot of people in the middle that like have varying degrees of that. Or at least that's the way I sort of
from a determinism perspective, like to the opposite of that, it would be like some people just have better have an improved programming, essentially, if you will, if you want to put it in that really basic terms, because even in it, like even from a determinism perspective, like if like it doesn't mean there shouldn't be any like it, you shouldn't like if someone does some acts, it doesn't mean that like if they do something harming some other actor, other human being, whatever, you should just be like, oh, well, whatever. Well, I guess it was determined. Like, no, like it's still someone got fucked over and something should happen to kind of if you want to look at it as like another piece of like another AI operating in the world, you still want to correct their fucking programming or if their programming is uncorrectable, to remove them from the situation. It kind of becomes no different. This is what I'm talking about, where it kind of comes full circle back to like basically the same thing as free will. And that's why this whole free will argument, it's kind of retarded.
I think where people get caught up is like, well, should we hold people personally responsible for their actions if it's more determinism than free will? Which is why, like, and honestly, I kind of take a little bit of a, like, so this is something Sam Harris talks about, which I actually agree with both in a scientific sense, and I think it actually is compatible with my Christianity. He was like, if you were born in the same circumstances with the same or mostly same genetic makeup as like, you know, Adolf Hitler, you would probably do like all the same things he did. And I actually like pretty much agree with that. And so that's kind of like why like my view of criminal justice is like, well, like, I mean, on one hand, I do get angry when people do fucked up shit. But on the other hand, I go like, okay, but like this person's a mix of their, you know, environment and their genetics. And like, you know, with like 99% of the time, you look back at the people that do the most fucked up shit and they've gone through some fucked up shit. And so it's like, I can have sympathy for them. And now they don't get me wrong. It's like, okay, well, you know, if you're doing that to my daughter, you know, bullet in your head. But yeah. I mean, but like if there was some way that we could through science find a way to take these people, put them in some kind of facility and rehabilitate them, well, like I would want to do that with those people.
And to put it in determinism terms, if you had some sort of corrupted code going through your computer or whatever, I mean, obviously in code we're applying this like a human being. If you have some sort of corrupted code fucking up your computer, you remove it. Like, and it's not because you hate the thing or you're trying to punish the thing. You're like, we just can't have this thing because it's going to fuck up all the other things. this is once again why it's fun to have, but it also, once again, put in determinism terms, like it's basically nature versus nurture, was you're bringing up there. And so to put that in determinism terms, the nature would be whatever given, like your DNA, your essentially your operating. I'm really bad with computer terms, so bear with me. You guys know what I mean. This would be whatever fucking AI you had to begin with, if you will, and then your nurture would be the the whatever circumstances you were put in and what kind of shaped your fucking code or whatever. As
like somebody using
on.
A computer for like work and and stuff and like video games versus someone who watched like porn 5 hours a day and it got like, you know, infected with spyware and adware and all that kind of fucking shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, once again, the free will argument's fun, but it's basically arguing over nothing when you fully grasp it. I mean, if anyone wants to go down that deep dive, it's fun. It's good to have a grasp on it.
I don't understand why some Christians get so autistic about it. Cause I'm like, to me, it's like, well, the Bible says that you're a slave to sin, which, and also talks about God being sovereign over all things. Now this is where, I mean, I'm the token, you know, Calvinist. So I guess to me, like things being predetermined doesn't trigger me like it does some people. So I don't know. It's certainly an interesting subject, but
It's not explicitly a atheism thing. Cause that's another thing. No, a lot of people get upset about the, whether it's determinism or not. And once again, I will say when it comes to like determinism, I'm not asserting it. I don't fucking know. Like this is such a deep question of how your brain works or how circumstances happen. Like, I mean, that's kind of what my best explanation without imbuing some sort of, you know, ghost in the machine. Like, and I think it's perfectly accurate, especially once you understand it. Like, it doesn't have to have some woo-woo associated with it.
I guess where my pushback comes in is like, and so like AI is an interesting topic to sort of like, you know, maybe to use for a moment to sort of illustrate my thoughts. Like, I'm skeptical that AI will ever reach a sort of like, and let me be clear, I think AI can get more intelligent, but would AI ever be able to develop that which we have in terms of like the highly evolved self-awareness and what we would label as like consciousness? Like, I don't know. I lean towards that consciousness is something that we don't really have scientific language to even we don't have scientific language to explain, and I don't think we even have the scientific tools to really properly study consciousness. We obviously know it's somewhat, you know, related to the brain, but I mean, you know, and now maybe 100 years the neuroscientists will figure more out, I don't know, but it's like operating on what we know now, it seems to me that it's hard to reduce purely to naturalism. And so
not to be a dick, but you see how that's a God of the Gaps argument, right?
So
by the way, I to back up on the AI thing, I actually agree. Like, I don't know a lot about tech, like I just said, but I don't think it's gonna be in our lifetime for sure.
but as far as the God of the Gaps, I mean, I think there's something different to me saying like, I don't know where the I don't know why lightning happens, and so that must be God. Versus
yeah,
me.
You say that, but 1,000 years ago, they would be like, well, okay, you know, the grass grows because of the water, but we don't know about the lightning. That's too much. Like, you see how it's slowly, it's shrinking, 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 right? Like, I'm not saying, like, maybe maybe we get deeper in the brain, and you're like, well, this is way too deep, and it's obviously woo-woo, and we don't fucking know. But, like, I don't know. I think over time, like, maybe not in our lifetime.
I guess it's just because I view, like lightning. Now, granted, I'm sort of like, it's hard to imagine living in times before we had the scientific knowledge we have now. And, like, I don't have that. My imagination does not extend that far. So I don't know how I could go through life and not have the understanding that, like, I know that rain is a natural phenomenon, and I know lightning is a natural phenomenon. I guess, okay, I guess 100 years ago,
it's
people
an argument
didn't
from ignorance at the very least, right? Right? You can
argument
at least grant
ignorance.
That. Like the fact that you're arguing that, and I'm not even saying we're having like a debate here, but like mm-hmm. so far as like, if you're going to say, well, I don't think consciousness can be explained, because I've heard religious people do that a lot, and I don't even know if you're necessarily saying that. But it's kind of like, well, I don't know how that could be possibly explained with natural things. And I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, maybe we do get here.
Well,
but
I don't
it's like
know.
We've,
I don't
we've
know
got
with certainty that consciousness can't be explained scientifically. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Yes. So my point being is, if this is some sort of argument for theism of some sort, it is a very much an argument of like, well, we don't know. It's an argument from ignorance. That's basically another way of saying the God.
I would say that I'm way far off from theism, and I'm more just like, I feel like our difference is like, I I'm agnostic about a lot of things, of course, but I feel like the main thing is that I think you're at least skeptical of anything beyond that which is like purely material or natural. Whereas I would say, even if I were to lose my faith in God and I wasn't a Christian, I have a hard time knowing if I could operate in the world thinking that we were literally just like atoms and cells and like just like bags of water slushing around. You know what I mean? Like that's where my hard line is. Like I could lose faith in God and just be like, I don't know, there's some kind of weird spiritual woo-woo and there's something mystical or energy or something. But I would always, I don't think I, at least where I'm at right now, I don't know that I could get to a point where it's like human beings are literally just, you know, biomechanical machines.
Okay, but like, obviously, like, all right, like I hear people do this, and like, but I've also seen atheists do the exact opposite. And honestly, it kind of annoys me too, because it's just kind of fucking gay, honestly. Like, I'm not saying you, I'm saying what atheists do. Like, I guess what, I mean, I would say like, if you were putting an overemphasis on what you say, it'd be a little bit gay too. But like, atheists will do the inverse. Well, they'll say shit like, okay, but we're the universe experiencing itself. And so my point being is, what you just said is that all it is a way to frame it. If you frame it differently, you can have a completely different perspective on it. So like, you, and it's almost like a way of having woo-woo without having woo-woo. Like, you can kind of be like, we're the universe experiencing itself, which is like, if you do go on a purely naturalistic view, or even if you're kind of taking the atheistic, like agnostic view, you can still kind of say like, well, this is kind of my default view, is that we are kind of like, even if we are just stardust, it's like, okay, so what? Like, yeah, we're just stardust. But like, in the day, I know I'm me, and I know I'm experiencing the world and I'm enjoying it. So why do I need to denigrate it by being like, oh my God, I'm atoms. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, you're still experiencing it, whether or not.
Well, I
you
guess
can,
so.
You know?
So I guess I give a fuck because I give a fuck, which seems like a cop out answer, but it's like, I care about morality and I care about justice, and I care about these abstract things to such an extent that like that just the fact that I care about those things is sort of like a, well, why do I care? Like, and not only why do I care, why do 99% of people care? And I mean, maybe it's just a learned evolutionary heuristic, but again, it's like, okay, but you could have a, why did it evolve to the point where it's like, why do we treat pedophilia, going back to the original, why is pedophilia not just a, like, cut that out, you know, go to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200, you're in timeout for a little bit, and then it's like, you know, whatever. Or even like, maybe you could make a purely rational case for like, you know what, okay, when someone does this, they have to be killed for the good of society. I could even see that. But it's like, why do we get so animated about it? Why do we get so angry in our bones? And really, this speaks to like our emotional experience. It's like, what is that? And how can we explain that in scientific terms, what it means to be angry, what it means to be fueled with a sense of justice, or with a sense of being pissed off at the amount of tyranny that we see going on around the world. Like, again, you can make rational arguments for why it's bad, but
you can't do this. I'm not trying to be a dick, but you play us the argument, and then you give the perfect exact opposite argument. Like, you're literally explaining why it would be okay from the other side. Like, let's do morality. Okay, we'll go into morality, and we'll go straight to the bad thing, pedophilia. If there was no God, would you be okay with people fucking your kids?
No.
Like, let's be okay. And why? Why wouldn't you be like, absent a God, why would you not be okay with people fucking your kids?
So absent God, I would not be okay with people fucking my kids because, for one, kids are small and fragile and it would cause them physical pain. It would be harmful to their mental health, probably cause them to be, you know, dealing with a lot of baggage over their lifetime, and just, you know, would not be good for their well-being.
There you go.
Right. But that's not what I'm getting at. I grant you that we can make rational arguments for why good things are good and bad things are bad. What I'm getting at is, why do we have this like emotional language that we, in this emotional experience that we add to it. And I guess it's like, again, this relates back to consciousness. It's like we don't operate through the world like computers, where it's just like a bunch of propositions and yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I mean, we are very emotionally driven creatures. And it's like, again, like, I don't know like where something like romantic love, or where something like, you know, a desire for, like, again, like, it's one thing to have a rational desire for justice, but like, I have like an emotional desire for justice. Like, when I see someone who is weak being picked on by someone who is stronger than them, I mean, I got into like a dozen fights in school because I would see somebody getting bullied and I would step in and stop them. You know what I mean? So it's like, again, like, why? It's like, I have a hard time to be very specific, it's like, what are our emotions and our experience as far as like, you know, we don't describe these things in just purely rational language. We describe them in emotional language too, which is why, like, we don't just shoot the pedophile. We shoot him with like a righteous fury and a deep-seated like animated hatred for people who would make victims out of the most vulnerable and the most innocent.
Yeah, but so are you trying to say that you have a hard time rationally explaining emotions?
I guess that's part of it. Yeah,
because I mean, not to be flippant, but animals have emotions. Like, is that something spiritual in animals? Is that where you're like? Because I mean, and I'm not even saying like primates, because obviously, like, I mean, that's kind of easy. But like elephants, I know we talk about crows, ravens, like hell, even dogs, and like. I feel like it's honestly, I'm not trying to be a dick, but it's kind of easy to explain emotions, really. Like,
we can explain the chemical reactions that happen in our brains that trigger the emotions, but it's like when I feel the emotions that I feel, like I'm not perceiving a chemical reaction.
Obviously you wouldn't. Like, if you had a chemical reaction going in your brain, you wouldn't perceive the chemicals happening. You would just perceive what you perceive. Like, that's how perception works. Like. You know,
right? But what is, again, it's like when I say we can't explain this stuff with science, it's like all we can do is go, well, there's a correlation that when people report feeling X, we see this chemical. It's like, okay, great, but what is this feeling X, and why do I feel it? How do I describe it with scientific language?
I mean, I'm not, once again, I'm not trying to be flippant, but they actually kind of can. I'm not a huge science, like, I'm not a big science nerd. But they have, there are a lot of, like, they do brain scans, so they can detect how things work. They know, you know, what's the happiness chemical? I forget. Like, there are all sorts of chemicals that are released in your brain.
I know, I feel like we're missing it. Like, I know that they can study and see the chemicals reacting. I know they can study the brain scans and see, okay, this area of the brain is lit up. But that means nothing to me. Like, all that is like, okay, like, chemicals are reacting, parts of my brain are lighting up. It's like, okay, but... explain what like sorrow is without, like, again, because like sorrow isn't just like chemical reactions in your brain. I mean, like, it is in a scientific sense, but
the problem is we are
talking in different languages now, because
to give an explanation of sorrow from a rationalistic perspective, for me, and once again, I'm not a huge science guy, so I'm just very crude. Bad thing happens that, you know, your regret, and you could even place this way back biologically, and you obviously then experience these emotions that you release because bad thing happens, something is not preferable, and it obviously sorrow would be most likely because you don't have any actionable thing you can do about it.
All right,
so you can set an imprint, so hey, I don't want this to happen again later, so I'll remember this feeling so I don't let this happen again later. When it comes to anger, say in the case of pedophilia, we gave a rational explanation why we would be not okay with pedophilia, and especially when it comes to our own children. So this is literally fight or flight. That one's way easier to explain than sorrow, because that just comes down to fight or flight. You can do libertarian theory. That's your property being fucked with right there. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go with Rothbard's explanation of what children are, that's your property being fucked with. So obviously that's going to set off your fight or flight. And, you know, any man worth a shit is going to set off the fight aspect. And that is fucking anger. So, I mean, that's pretty easy to explain. Back to fucking the most basic of predators way back when, of fight or flight. So,
Well, okay. Here's a question that might be able to get us deeper into this. So, can you define what sorrow is without, you know, using the word sorrow or generic things like feels bad or doesn't feel good in defining it? Like how do you define the experience of sorrow
without using the word sad or sorrow? Like,
yeah,
I mean, don't you think that's kind of like cheating? Like how do you define sadness without saying sad? I mean, sure, if I was some science nerd,
cheating.
I could probably.
I think that's, no, I'm not even asking for a textbook definition. I'm saying, like, can you explain, just in your own words, even what sadness is? And but I mean, I don't feel like it's cheating to say you can't use the word you're defining in the definition. I mean, that's like saying like a tree is a tree. It's like, well, that doesn't help me.
Well, okay. Well, on the flip side, how would you explain it? Like using spiritual terms, like I feel like I'm not trying to be a dick. This kind of comes off as nonsensical. Like.
Well, I agree. Here's the thing. I kind of agree. It's nonsensical, but that's why I then go, okay, sadness, sorrow, happy, like, you know, the emotional experience, the experience of consciousness. These things to me are like, I don't have the language to describe them in a material sense. So that to me, they speak to a realm that is beyond naturalism.
Okay,
now, when I go beyond
I
naturalism,
said,
I can't explain
okay,
them.
That's why I said if I was a science guy, I could give you all the chemicals involved. So, like, or the brain patterns or whatever. So,
But just identifying the brain.
Once again, I'm not affirming that's the case. There could be some spirit that magically fucking those feelings in my head. But I mean,
like,
I don't know why that would be the default if I don't know otherwise.
Like, it's like you can describe what sleep is in terms of brain processes and body processes, but that's not the same as experiencing sleep and describing the experience of sleep from a personal subjective view. You get what I mean? Like I get that we can define the mechanical, like you know, first this happens, then this happens, then this happens, and here are all of the biochemical reactions, and here are all the electrical, you know, electrical signals going off in different parts of the brain. But to me, that's different than describing the experience from what you were experiencing in your brain in terms of like your feelings and your thoughts and the reality that your consciousness is just, you know, describing and experiencing.
Okay. But so are you saying sleep is spiritual? Because if not, you just kind of,
no, I was picking something that's
point.
Not, I was picking something really benign, like sleep.
Okay,
to be like, even that,
point.
I know,
like,
no, my point is like,
you can't explain it with, just because it's hard to come up with words to describe a sensation doesn't then therefore mean there's a spirit involved, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get how these two things are connected. I mean, this really just kind of comes off as once again a God of the Gaps thing.
I brought up sleep to try to point out that like just being able to explain the physical processes of something does not equate to the same as like you've explained the entirety of the experience from the subjective view. So, you know, sleep is obviously a little bit different of a, you know, benign thing. You know, I got another thing we could point to is like, why do things, you know, like more, but I guess other benign things would be like color. Like, do we all, when we see the color red, is it the same for each of us? You know, one of those.
Okay, but
my point
is you're making my point right now. Like, you're, for some reason, when it comes to emotions, you're applying some sort of spirituality because, and you're kind of sort of making this loose argument that because you can't explain the subjective experience of it, therefore it, you're not, I guess you're not even necessarily saying that therefore it means it's spiritual, but it kind of implies it. But then you're also then giving all these other examples of experiences that you're saying are not necessarily spiritual, but the same exact qualitatively, it's basically exactly the same thing, except for the fact it's an emotion. So my point being is, how?
All right, where's the
disconnect here?
Like, I feel like the disconnect is
colors
that...
is another good thing too. Like, just because you can't explain a color to a blind person doesn't mean that color is not a thing, or there's not a rational way to explain it, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And by the way, Kate Nicole. Is Jose agnostic atheist? Yes. Like, I am an agnostic atheist. Agnostic, I say this all the time, but people don't understand it. Agnostic is agnostic or Gnostic is a question of knowing. Atheist, theist is a question of belief. I don't know and I don't believe. So there you go.
And the difference between me and Jose is I don't know and I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we're able to be cool with each other.
Yeah. But and so it's like, I feel like the problem is maybe the disconnect here is that, like, I feel like you're like, well, we can explain things by going down to like the hyper pixelated like explanation of like what makes up all these distinct parts.
Whoa, like, not to cut you off. All right. What I'm saying is I don't understand why a spiritual element needs to be injected. Like, even if I wasn't able to give a rational explanation, why a spiritual element needs to be injected.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it has to. I'm not saying.
Or why it even should.
All right. Okay. So. So let's say for sake, I'm not trying to trap you here. Let's say for sake of argument, you agreed that consciousness, emotions, and the experiences we have in those realms are not explainable with sort of like scientific or even naturalist language. Like, let's say for sake of argument that you agreed with that. Okay, so then I would not say that accepting that means that you have to then suppose that, okay, well, therefore there's something spiritual. I'm just saying that I find then that it is a probable or at least somewhat plausible explanation then to say that, well, this could be what's going on. It's not that I'm saying like it automatically proves it.
I will agree with you that everything, your entire belief system could be. I'll give you that. But
okay. And what I'm saying is when I look at the fact that emotions and consciousness don't seem to have they seem to be things that although they dip their toe into the naturalist realm, I think that there is a large part of both that extends past what we can experience and describe in naturalist language. And so and I find that if I'm going to then describe it or ascribe to it a spiritual element, that it makes better sense of all of reality to me. Because to me, defining reality in just atoms and cells and electrons and energy.
To be clear, I don't. I'm just giving alternate explanations. I don't actually experience that. Just so people know, I don't like assert any of that. I don't even necessarily. I'm not a huge science guy, so I think sometimes I don't know is a sufficient explanation.
Well, and I think it's okay to say I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? So
I just then think to jump to, but then I'll accept this other explanation just because it provides me some sort of all-encompassing. I mean, yeah, I could believe Scientology because it completely buys everything, but I don't know why I should.
I make several claims off of this. Then I go, I believe that there is a spiritual reality that coincides with our natural reality. And then I also believe that,
not to be dick, but that's already a huge jumping off point, right? You get that, right? Like that's like that your first point is already like a why? Well, why would you jump to that? Like, is
it
you
get
were
to
born
it.
In the world
it. Me-
as a blank slate and you had no idea about any of this? Why would you immediately jump to, wow, there must be some sort of this? Like, it just seems to be a unsupported, like, I mean, sure, you can. I don't see why that's the logical, or I mean, I guess you don't buy, well, like, I guess in
I
some
say,
senses, you don't well, buy the.
I would say that based on my senses, that when I experience sadness, when I experience happiness, when I experience injustice, that, you know, the depth to my emotional and personal experience is something that is not just like I am a bag of atoms and highly specialized.
But once again,
startup.
I don't. But see how you're already kind of cooking. Like you're like, that's not even how I think. Like it's like I know you're not intending to do it, but it's kind of a straw man. Like just because like that's not even
I'm
how
not
I
trying
think.
To say that's what
I'm
you think.
I know you're not saying that, but like I don't get. how that would be a thought process. Someone would be like, well, I know. I guess I don't just understand that logic. That would be like, well, I mean, I don't think this is that. Like, you can sometimes it's just okay to go, I don't know. Like, it's okay to just be ignorant or just be, I guess, honest with yourself of, I don't know. And that doesn't mean that I should then jump on.
No, I'm not saying
that. Yeah.
But because like, there's a difference between belief and knowledge. And it's like,
yes, I know.
I don't know the stuff. So if I was coming in saying like, oh, well, because of this, this, and this, you know, it's just, you know, you're an idiot if you don't believe in these things. It's like, well, no, I don't know. But I guess like where I'm getting at, and then I can explain the process, is that the reason I believe the things I believe is because I think that they, well, there's kind of two claims, actually. One, I think it makes the best sense out of all of reality. And part of what I'm including that is that part of my reality being the questions I have about like why I feel the things I feel. And then beyond that, I think the second claim would be that it brings more value and meaning to my life. And so, and I think I said this in our conversation with you and James, I was like, it almost, you know, maybe it's a bit of a stretch to say there's a little bit of an egoist flair to this, but it's like, I believe because I want to believe because like, fuck you. It brings me enjoyment and meaning. So like, I'm going to do it almost just for that fact.
And for that, if that is your logic, if that's what brings you happiness, I have nothing to say to that. I mean, I would say that like, I mean, I don't.
And when I say fuck you, I mean like in the humorous way, not like, you know.
I would say for me, like I have that same exact thing. Like I don't know. I guess for me, I find it freeing to not feel like I have that. But I mean, if that's what you enjoy, yes. I mean, from an egoist perspective or whatever, if that's what brings you happiness, that's fine. But from a logic perspective, that's where I get a little bit shaky.
Like, to me, like it brings me happiness, and I also, part of why it makes me happy is that it's like when I look at both options, it's like, okay, well, and again, to be clear, I'm not saying this is what you believe, but to me, the way I perceive it, there's two options. It's either.
Okay, but you just said that's not what I believe. So you know it's not two options. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, I guess to be fair, I don't know how you come to a third option. So that might be something you can follow up with. But when I am approaching this, I feel like there's only two options. And it's like option one is everything is natural material. And I'm like, well, this doesn't seem right, both from a emotional and sort of what I would say just kind of rational, like my senses tell me there's more to it than just atoms. So therefore, okay, I'm left with this realm where things are, you know, kind of like in the sterner sense, like they're spooky. And I know I can't prove any of this. So I'm just I'm muddling through territory that's unscientific, it's unverifiable, and I'm going to find what I think is the best and the most enjoyable kind of at the same time. But it's kind of like fumbling in the dark like exercise. It's not something that, it's not the same as looking at things under a microscope and the scientific method and all that. So again, that's how I'm coming at it. If there's a third option, it's either that I don't know it or I'm incapable of seeing it. I don't know. Like, what would you say? Like, I'm not trying to say that you are a strict naturalist. It's just like, I don't know. What do you believe? Because you said you don't view yourself as just atoms and cells and stardust. So it's like, what are you beyond that?
I'm me. I guess for me, that I don't need to think of it beyond that. Like, if I had to guess, I mean, for me, that's a perfectly sufficient answer. But at the end of the day, like, I'm like, okay, what? Like, I don't care.
But what is
like,
me?
Like, exactly. Like, me is me. I know what I am. Do you not know what you are? I have my experience. Once again, like we talked about earlier,
it just seems like an assertion.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so like.
Like,
okay, so your assertion is I'm me because of me, and my assertion is like, well, I'm me because like God and spiritual stuff.
Well, at the end of the day, even okay, like I actually think my like from a purely logical perspective, and it's kind of like the whole solipsism thing that we've talked about before, or how you know logic, and it's like most people, unless you're like an orthodox or like a presuppositionalist or whatever, like I know we probably could get like in the weeds in this one, but I don't want to go into that right now. most people kind of operate. They start from their senses and move out from there. I would think I probably could even get you to admit that that's what you do. You just then from there go then well, buy even, into yeah. your religion and so on and so forth. But I like at the end of the day that I, like I said, I start from my senses. I know me and like, and then you have the additional proposition of then you add a God onto that, which is fine. I mean, whatever. That's cool.
But, I would say I first add spiritualness yeah. in general yeah. and then add God. But yeah,
my point being is I know it sounds silly, but it's the most it's literally the most logical thing in the world. If you think about it, because there's literally nothing else in the world I can know absolutely beyond that more so than myself. I know my experience and that's it. Like if solipsism is a thing and I'm living in a vat, I do know my brain. I know I'm experiencing it. There's no way I'm not. The idea that I'm not experiencing it is just like nonsensical. Like what? Like I know I am. Like how can you tell me I'm not? Like
sure.
It's kind of that I think therefore I am. Like even if I am a brain in a vat somewhere or whatever, at the end of the day, like I know I'm experiencing these. Like maybe somehow in some weird fucking way I'm not, but I can't even wrap my head around that. That's like a weird fucking mind fuck. Like it's like incomprehensible to even the atheist, religious, like whatever. So like I know it sounds silly, but it's like the most basic unit.
I
like,
guess at the problem day, like, is I'm me I can't.
And that's good enough.
So like I agree with you, but the problem is I can't help but ask, what is me?
Yeah.
And listen, I completely admit that me going beyond your position is like, it is a little bit, and like, I think Christians don't want to admit this or religious people in general. It is a little bit begging the question, like me deciding to go down that exercise of like, well, what if I put in all of these propositions and say, well, this makes sense. It's like, well, where do those propositions come from? It's like, well, I'm definitely begging the question a little bit. Like, it's not like I came. I mean, like, I guess maybe if you wiped all my memories, you dropped me in the middle of nowhere and I didn't have knowledge of religion or Christianity or any of that, like maybe I would still come to some kind of like, I don't know, I think there's something spooky or mysterious or whatever, but I don't know. There's no way to test that. So, yeah. I mean, I think you could say historically people have always made religions. So I guess it's, you know, probable people would continue to do that. But yeah, I definitely know that the reason that I am doing these things is because I have this, I have an emotional attachment to wanting to believe in God. And I went through a period, I mean, I dived deep into atheism. I mean, I went through all of the classic debates with the guys like Sam Harris and Christopher Hitchens and, I mean, you know, Dawkins, all of them, you know, went Matt Dillahunty, another
good one.
Dillahunty's
a good one.
You know,
and he's a good one.
Yeah, he's a funny cunt, though.
It does drive me nuts what a raving liberal he is when it's like, dude, you're so fucking like he's so logical, but it's like, why is this a spot where it fucks you up? Like,
right.
What does he always goes to? It's a what's the veil of ignorance? That thing is like, and Dave has torn that apart once before, and it's like, dude, like once you tear that apart, you're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, have you never tried to like explain away the veil of ignorance? It's actually pretty easy to explain away. But all right, whatever. That's another side subject, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so. But no, I did a deep dive into this, and then actually, and I've talked about this on my show. Then when I became a libertarian, I got into Stefan Molyneux, who was also like a big atheist. And so I actually went on his, like did one of his call-in shows things and had a conversation with him. And that conversation actually helped me realize like, yeah, I'm basically begging the question with all of this, because it's like, why do I, it's like, it is because I care so much about holding on to my beliefs that I make a lot of the claims that I do. But it's like, okay, well then I go back to, why do I care? And this goes back to when James asked me on his show, like the first time I was on, he's like, why do you believe in God? And it's like, dude, I don't fucking know. I just do. And I've tried, like I went deep, and I think you can hopefully appreciate, like I try my very best to not make the dumb cliche theist arguments that like I know are really not logically sound, because I know they're not. And I just, I got to the bottom of that, but instead of getting to the bottom of that and then going, oh, well, you know, I guess it's, I can't know that God exists, and so I'm going to lose my faith or reject my faith. I was like, no, I don't want to lose my faith. Like, I believe in God because I believe in God. And to me, it's as natural as like breathing or like not, you know, just existing. So because of that, but to me, I guess like the only thing I would say is that when you say we start with our senses, it's like, well, I agree. We start with our senses. And I guess this is stretching that definition a little bit, but it's like I have this deep embedded emotional experience where it's like, I believe there's a God. I believe there's something more to reality. And so, you know, that kind of shapes how I approach all this.
All right. Well, that's a perfect place to end it. I'm going to probably title this Theism Destroyed, make it real clickbaity. No, I'm just kidding. You want to go ahead and drop your plugs and we'll get out of here?
Sure. And by the way, we need to the next time go deeper into the morality argument, because that's where the rubber meets the road. And I think I can provide.
I think we sufficiently touched on it, though. That was my whole point with like the pedophilia thing, and kind of like we touched on it a little bit. That was the one everyone goes to. Like, but we can go into that more. Maybe next time I come on your show or something, we can go in different aspects. Ways you want to go with that. I think I cut to the root of it with that one. Although there are definitely other avenues to go with it. But yeah, go on.
Sure. Yeah. Plugs. Twitter at Biblical Anarchy. The podcast Daniel 3 podcast is everywhere: YouTube, Odyssey, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of that. And you know, that's it.
Yeah, and with that, this is the No Way Jose show. You can find me on YouTube, all the major audio podcasters, Odyssey as well. Follow me at 2020 No Way Jose on Twitter. Give me money, patreon.com. Just No Way Jose 2020. Hey, what's your fucking Patreon? This is a safe space for grifters. What's your fucking Patreon?
It's patreon.com/biblicalanarchy.
There you go. Give this man fucking money. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. You said the whole episode was a morality argument. Yeah, in a sort of way. Kind of, yeah.
It is. I just think we can go a lot
deeper. There's so many different avenues. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, I think, I know you're trying to end it. So it's like, I know you can rationally explain why things are right and wrong, but I just don't know why you can't just go, well, fuck it, I don't care.
Well, I mean, you can. I mean, there you go. We did the whole thing. Like, I mean, no one's saying you can't. Like,
all right, now you can. Now you can title the episode "Theism Destroyed."
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff, and that. We are out. I gotta go to bed. Appreciate you coming on. This was fun.
Yeah.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.